the 20th of April. Up betimes and to the getting ready my answer to the Committee of Accounts to several questions, which makes me trouble, though I know of no blame due to me from any. Let them inquire what they can out. I to Whitehall, and there hear how Brunker is fled, which I think will undo him, but what good it will do Harmon I know not. He hath so much befouled himself. But it will be good sport to my Lord Chancellor to hear how this great enemy is fain to take the same course that he is. There met Robinson, who tells me that he fears his master, William Coventry, will this week have his business brought upon the stage again, about selling of places, which I shall be sorry for, though the less since I hear his standing for pen the other day, to the prejudice, though not to the wrong, of my Lord Sandwich. And yet I do think what he did out of a principle of honesty. Thence to Committee of Accounts, and delivered my paper, and had little discourse, and was unwilling to stay long with them to enter into much, but away and glad to be from them, though very civil to me, but cunning and close I see they are. So to Westminster Hall, and there find the Parliament upon the Irish business, where, going into the Speaker's chamber, I did hear how plainly one lawyer of counsel for the complainants did inveigh, by name, against all the late commissioners there. Thence with Creed, thinking, but failed, of dining with Lord Crewe, and so he and I to Hercules Pillars and there dined, and thence home by coach, and so with Jack Fenn to the Chamberlain of London, to look after the state of some navy assignments that are in his hands. And thence away, and meeting Sir William Hooker, the alderman, he did cry out mighty against Sir William Penn, for his getting such an estate and giving £15,000 with his daughter, which is more by half than ever he did give. But this the world believes, and so let them. Thence took coach, and I all alone to Hyde Park, passing through Duck Lane, among the booksellers, only to get a sight of the pretty little woman that I did salute the other night, and did in passing, and so all the evening in the park, being a little unwilling to be seen there, and at night home, and there to William Penn's, and sat and talked there with his wife and children a good while, he being busy in his closet, I believe, preparing his defence in Parliament, and so home to bed. The 21st of April. Up and at the office all the morning, at noon, dined at home, and thence took Mistress Turner out, and carried her to the King's House, and saw the Indian Emperor, and after that done, took Nip out, and to Kensington, and there walked in the garden, and then supped, and mighty merry, there being also in the house Sir Philip Howard and some company, and had a dear reckoning, but merry, and away, it being quite night, home, and dark, about 9 o'clock or more, and in my coming had the opportunity, the first time in my life, to be bold with Nip, by putting my hand abajo de her coats, and tocar sus thighs, and ventre, and a little of the other thing, ella, but a little opposing me, sus skin, very douce, and I mightily pleased with this. And so left her at home, and so Mistress Turner and I home to my letters and to bed. Hear how Sir William Penn's impeachment was read, and agreed to in the House this day, and ordered to be engrossed, and he suspended the House, Harmon set at liberty, and Brunker put out of the House, and a writ for a new election, and an impeachment ordered to be brought in against him, he being fled. The 22nd of April. Up and all the morning at my office busy, at noon, it being washing day, I toward Whitehall, and stopped and dined all alone at Hercules Pillars, where I was mightily pleased to overhear a woman talk to her counsel, how she had troubled her neighbours with law, and did it very roguishly and wittily. Thence to Whitehall, and there we attended the Duke of York, as usual, and I did present Mistress Pett, the widow, and her petition to the Duke of York for some relief from the King. Here was today a proposition made to the Duke of York by Captain Van Heemskerk for £20,000 to discover an art how to make a ship go 2 foot for one, what any ship doth now, which the King inclines to try, it costing him nothing to try, and it is referred to us to contract with the man. thence to attend the council about the business of certificates to the Exchequer, where the commissioners of the Treasury of different minds. Some would, and my Lord Ashley would not, have any more made out, and carried it that there should not. After done here and the council up, I buy water from the privy stairs to Westminster Hall, and taking water, the King and Duke of York were in the new buildings, and the Duke of York called to me whither I was going, and I answered aloud, "To wait on our masters at Westminster," at which he and all the company laughed. But I was sorry and troubled for it afterward, for fear any Parliament man should have been there, and will be a caution to me for the time to come. Met with Roger Pepys, who tells me they have been on the business of money, but not ended yet, but will take up much more time. So to the fishmongers and bought a couple of lobsters, and over to the asparagus garden, thinking to have met Mr. Pierce and his wife, and Nip, but met their servant to bring me to Chatelain's, the French house in Covent Garden, and there, with music and good company, Manuel and his wife and one Swaddle, a clerk of Lord Arlington's who dances and speaks French well, but got drunk and was then troublesome. And here, mighty merry till 10 at night, and then I away and got a coach and so home, where I find Balty and his wife come to town, and did sup with them, and so they to bed. This night the Duke of Monmouth and a great many blades were at Chatelain's, and I left them there, with a hackney coach attending him. The 23rd of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning, and at noon comes Nip and Mistress Pierce and her daughter, and one Mistress Foster, and dined with me, and mighty merry, and after dinner carried them to the Tower, and showed them all to be seen there, and among other things the crown and sceptres and rich plate, which I myself never saw before, and indeed is noble, and I'm mightily pleased with it. Thence by water to the Temple, and there to the Cock Alehouse, and drank and ate a lobster, and sang and mighty merry. So, almost night, I carried Mistress Piers home, and then Nip and I to the Temple again, and took boat, it being darkish, and to Vauxhall, it being now night and a bonfire burning at Lambeth for the King's coronation day. And there she and I drank, and yo did tocar her cor all over, and besar sans fin her, but did not offer algo mas, and so back and led her home, it being now 10 at night, and so got a link, and walking towards home, just at my entrance into the ruins at St. Dunstan's, I was met by two rogues with clubs, who came towards us, so I went back and walked home quite round by the wall, and got well home, and to bed, weary, but pleased at my day's pleasure, but yet displeased at my expense and time I lose. The 24th of April. Up betimes and by water to Whitehall to the Duke of York, and there hear that this day Hollis and Temple purpose to bring in the petition against Sir William Coventry, which I'm sorry for, but hope he will get out of it. Here I presented Mistress Pett and her condition to Mr. Wren for his favour, which he promised us. Thence to Lord Brunker, and sat and talked with him, who thinks the Parliament will, by their violence and delay in money matters, force the King to run any hazard and dissolve them. Thence to Duck Lane, and there did overlook a great many of Monsieur Fouquet's library, that a bookseller hath bought, and did buy one Spanish, Los Ilustres Barones. Here did I endeavour to see my pretty woman, that I did besar in las tenebras a little while depuis, and did find her sola in the boutique, but had not la confidence para hablar a ella. So lost my pains, but we'll have another time, and so home to my office and then to dinner. After dinner, down to the Old Swan, and by the way called at Mitchell's, and there did see Betty, but that was all, for either she is shy or foolish, and su marido hath no mind para lese me see su mujer. To Whitehall by water, and there did our business with the Duke of York, which was very little, only here I do hear the Duke of York tell how Sir William Penn's impeachment was brought into the House of Lords today, and spoke with great kindness of him, and that the Lords would not commit him till they could find precedent for it, and did incline to favour him. Thence to the King's Playhouse, and there saw a piece of Beggar's Bush, which I have not seen some years. And thence home, and there to Sir William Penn's, and supped, and sat talking there late, having nowhere else to go, and my eyes too bad to read right, and so home to bed. The 25th of April. Up and with Sir John Minnis to my Lord Brunker, and with him, all of us, to my Lord Ashley, to satisfy him about the reason of what we do or have done in the business of the tradesmen's certificates, which he seems satisfied with, but is not. But I believe we have done what we can justify, and he hath done what he cannot, in stopping us to grant them, and I believe it will come into Parliament and make trouble. So home and there at the office all the morning. At noon, home to dinner, and thence after dinner to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there saw Sir Martin Marall, which the more I see, the more I like. And thence to Westminster Hall, and there met with Roger Pepys, and he tells me that nothing hath lately passed about my Lord Sandwich, but only Sir Robert Carr did speak hardly of him. But it is hoped that nothing will be done more this meeting of Parliament, which the King did, by a message yesterday, declare again should rise the 4th of May, and then only adjourn for 3 months. And this message, being only adjournment, did please them mightily, for they are desirous of their power mightily. Thence, homeward, by the coffee-house in Covent Garden, thinking to have met Harris here, but could not, and so home and there, after my letters, I home to have my hair cut by my sister Mitchell and her husband, and so to bed. This day I did first put off my waistcoat, the weather being very hot, but yet lay in it at night, and shall for a little time. The 26th of April, Lord's Day. Lay long, and then up and to church, and so home, where there came and dined with me Harris, Rolt, and Bannister, and one Bland, that sings well also, and very merry at dinner, and after dinner to sing all the afternoon. But when all was done, I did begin to think that the pleasure of these people was not worth so often charge and cost to me as it hath occasioned me. They being gone, I and Balty walked as far as Charing Cross, and there got a coach, and to Hales's the painter, thinking to have found Harris sitting there for his picture, which is drawing for me. But he, and all this day's company, and Hales, were got to the Crown Tavern at next door, and thither I to them and stayed a minute, leaving Captain Grant telling pretty stories of people that have killed themselves, or been accessory to it, in revenge to other people and to mischief other people. And thence with Hales to his house, and there did see his beginning of Harris's picture, which I think will be pretty like, and he promises a very good picture. Thence with Balty away and got a coach and to Hyde Park, and there up and down and did drink some milk at the lodge, and so home and to bed. The 27th of April. Up and Captain Dean came to see me, and he and I toward Westminster together, and I set him down at Whitehall, while I to Westminster Hall, and up to the Lord's House, and there saw Sir William Penn go into the House of Lords, where his impeachment was read to him, and he used mighty civilly, the Duke of York being there. And 2 days hence, at his desire, he is to bring in his answer, and a day then to be appointed for his being heard with counsel. Thence down into the hall, and with Creed and Godolphin walk, and do hear that tomorrow is appointed, upon a motion on Friday last, to discourse the business of my Lord Sandwich, moved by Sir Robert Howard, that he should be sent for home, and I fear it will be ordered. Certain news come, I hear this day, that the Spanish plenipotentiary in Flanders will not agree to the peace and terms we and the Dutch have made for him, and the King of France. And by this means the face of things may be altered, and we forced to join with the French against Spain, which will be an odd thing. At noon with Creed to my Lord Crewe's, and there dined. And here was a very fine-skinned lady dined, the daughter of my Lord Roberts, and also a fine lady, Mr. John Parkhurst's wife, that was but a boy the other day, and after dinner there comes in my Lady Roberts herself, and with her Mr. Roberts's wife, That was Mistress Bodville, the great beauty, and a fine lady indeed, the first time I saw her. My Lord Crewe and Sir Thomas and I and Creed all the afternoon debating of my Lord Sandwich's business against tomorrow. And thence I to the King's Playhouse, and there saw most of The Cardinal, a good play, and thence to several places to pay my debts, and then home, and there took a coach and to Mile End to take a little air, and thence home, and to Sir William Penn's, where I supped and sat all the evening, and being lighted homeward by Mistress Markham, I blew out the candle and kissed her, and so home to bed. The 28th of April. Up betimes and to Sir William Coventry's by water, but lost my labour, so through the park to Whitehall, and thence to my Lord Crewe's to advise again with him about my Lord Sandwich. And so to the office, where till noon, and then I by coach to Westminster Hall, and there do understand that the business of religion and the act against conventicles have so taken them up all this morning, and doth still, that my Lord Sandwich's business is not like to come on to-day, which I'm heartily glad of. This law against conventicles is very severe, but Creed, whom I met here, doth tell me that it being moved that Papists' meetings might be included, the House was divided upon it, and it was carried in the negative, which will give great disgust to the people, I doubt. Thence with Creed to Hercules Pillars, by the Temple again, and there dined, he and I all alone, and thence to the King's House, and there did see Love in a Maze, wherein very good mirth of Lacey the clown, and Wintersell the country knight, his master. Thence to the New Exchange to pay a debt of my wife's there, and so home, and there to the office and walk in the garden in the dark, to ease my eyes, and so home to supper and to bed. The 29th of April. Up and to my office, where all the morning busy. At noon, dined at home, and my clerks with me, and thence I to Whitehall, and there do hear how Sir William Penn hath delivered in his answer, and the Lords have sent it down to the Commons, but they have not yet read it, nor taken notice of it, so as I believe they will by design defer it till they rise, that so he, by lying under an impeachment, may be prevented in his going to sea, which will vex him and trouble the Duke of York. Did little business with the Duke of York, and then Lord Brunker and I to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there saw Love in a Tub. And after the play done, I stepped up to Harris's dressing-room, where I never was, and there I observed much company come to him, and the wits to talk after the play is done, and to assign meetings. Mine was to talk about going down to see the resolution. And so away, and thence I to Westminster Hall, and there met with Mr. George Montagu, and walked and talked, who tells me that the best fence against the Parliament's present fury is delay, and recommended it to me in my friend's business and my own, if I have any, and is that William Coventry doth take and will secure himself. That the King will deliver up all to the Parliament, and being petitioned the other day by Mr. Brunker to protect him, with tears in his eyes the King did say he could not, and bid him shift for himself, at least till the House is up. Thence I away to Whitehall, and there took coach home with a stranger I let into the coach, to club with me for it, he going into London, and set him down at the lower end of Cheapside, and I home into Sir William Penn's, and there sat. And by, it being now about 9 o'clock at night, I heard Mercer's voice and my boy Tom singing in the garden, which pleased me mightily, I longing to see the girl, having not seen her since my wife went. And so into the garden to her, and sang, and then home to supper, and mightily pleased with her company in talking and singing. And so parted, and to bed. The 30th of April. Up and at the office all the morning, at noon Sir John Minnis and I to the Dolphin Tavern, there to meet our neighbours, all of the parish, this being procession day, to dine, and did, and much very good discourse, they being most of them very able merchants, as any in the city, Sir Andrew Rickard, Mr. Vanderput, Sir John Frederick, Harrington, and others. They talked with Mr. Mills about the meaning of this day and the good uses of it, and how heretofore, and yet in several places, they do whip a boy at every place they stop at in their procession. Thence I to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there saw The Tempest, which still pleases me mightily, and thence to the New Exchange, and then home, and in the way stopped to talk with Mr. Brisbane, who gives me an account of the rough usage Sir George Carteret and his counsel had the other day before the Commissioners of Accounts, and what I do believe we shall all of us have, in a greater degree than any we have had yet with them, before their 3 years are out, which are not yet begun, nor God knows when they will, this being like to be no session of Parliament when they now rise. So home, and there took up Mistress Turner, and carried her to Mile End, and drank, and so back, talking, and so home and to bed. I being mighty cold, this being a mighty cold day, and I had left off my waistcoat 3 or 4 days. This evening, coming home in the dusk, I saw and spoke to our Nell, Payne's daughter, and had I not been very cold, I should have taken her to Tower Hill, para talk together, et tocar her. Thus ends this month, my wife in the country, myself full of pleasure and expense, and some trouble for my friends, my Lord Sandwich by the Parliament, and more for my eyes, which are daily worse and worse that I dare not write or read almost anything. The Parliament going in a few days to rise, myself so long without accounting now, for 7 or 8 months, I think, or more, that I know not what condition almost I'm in as to getting or spending for all that time, which troubles me, but I will soon do it. The kingdom in an ill state through poverty, a fleet going out, and no money to maintain it or set it out, seamen yet unpaid and mutinous when pressed to go out again, our office able to do little, nobody trusting us, nor we desiring any to trust us, and yet have not money to do anything, but only what particularly belongs to this fleet going out, and that but lamely too. The Parliament several months upon an act for £300,000, but cannot or will not agree upon it, but do keep it back, in spite of the King's desires to hasten it, till they can obtain what they have a mind, in revenge upon some men for the late ill managements, and he is forced to submit to what they please, knowing that without it he shall have no money, and they as well, that if they give the money, the King will suffer them to do little more. And then the business of religion doth disquiet everybody, the Parliament being vehement against the Nonconformists, while the King seems to be willing to countenance them. So we are all poor and in pieces, God help us, while the peace is like to go on between Spain and France, and then the French may be apprehended able to attack us. So God help us. May 1668. The first. Up and to my office, where all the morning busy, then to Westminster Hall, and there met Sir William Penn, who labours to have his answer to his impeachment, and sent down from the Lord's House, read by the House of Commons. But they are so busy on other matters that he cannot, and thereby will, as he believes, by design be prevented in going to sea this year. Here met my cousin Thomas Pepys of Deptford, and took some turns with him, who is mightily troubled for this act now passed against conventicles, and in few words and sober doth lament the condition we are in, by a negligent prince and a mad parliament. Thence I by coach to the Temple, and there set him down, and then to Sir George Carteret's to dine. But he not being at home, I back again to the New Exchange a little, and thence back again to Hercules Pillars, and there dined all alone, and then to the King's Playhouse, and there saw The Surprisal, and a disorder in the pit by its raining in from the cupola at top, it being a very foul day and cold, so as there are few, I believe, go to the park today, if any. Thence to Westminster Hall, and there I understand how the House of Commons and Lords are like to disagree very much about the business of the East India Company, and one Skinner, to the latter of which the Lords have awarded £5,000 from the former for some wrong done him heretofore, and the former, appealing to the Commons, the Lords vote their petition a libel, and so there is like to follow very hot work. Thence, by water, not being able to get a coach, nor boat, but a sculler, and that, with company, it being so foul a day, to the Old Swan. And so home, and there spent the evening making Balti read to me. and so to supper and to bed. The 2nd of May. Up and at the office all the morning, at noon with Lord Brunker in his coach as far as the temple, and there light and to Hercules' pillars, and there dined, and thence to the Duke of York's playhouse at a little past 12, to get a good place in the pit against the new play, and there, setting a poor man to keep my place, I out and spent an hour at Martin's, my bookseller's, and so back again where I find the house quite full, but I had my place, and by and by the King comes, and the Duke of York, and then the play begins, called The Sullen Lovers, or The Impertinence, having many good humours in it, but the play tedious and no design at all in it. But a little boy, for a farce, doth dance Polichinello, the best that ever anything was done in the world by all men's report, most pleased with that, beyond anything in the world and much beyond all the play. Thence to the King's house to see Nip, but the play done, and so I took a hackney alone and to the park, and there spent the evening, and to the lodge and drank new milk, and so home to the office, ended my letters, and, to spare my eyes, home and played on my pipes, and so to bed. The 3rd of May, Lord's Day. Up and to church, where I saw Sir Andrew Rickard, though he be under the black rod by order of the Lord's house, upon the quarrel between the East India Company and Skinner, which is like to come to a very great heat between the two houses. At noon comes Mr. Mills and his wife, and Mr. Turner and his wife, by invitation to dinner, and we were mighty merry, and a very pretty dinner, of my Bridget and Nell's dressing, very handsome. After dinner to church again, where I did please myself con me ojos shut, in futar, in conceit, the hook-nosed young lady, a merchant's daughter, in the upper pew in the church under the pulpit. So home, and with Sir William Penn took a hackney, and he and I to Old Street, to a brew-house, there to see Sir Thomas Teddyman, who is very ill in bed of a fever, got, I believe, by the fright the Parliament have put him into of late. But he is a good man, a good seaman, and stout. Thence he and I to Islington, and there at the old house, ate and drank and merry, and there by chance giving two pretty fat boys each of them a cake. They proved to be Captain Holland's children, whom, therefore, I pity. So round by Hackney home, having good discourse, he being very open to me in his talk, how the King ought to dissolve the Parliament when this bill of money is passed, they being never likely to give him more, how he hath a great opportunity of making himself popular by stopping this act against conventicles, and how my Lord Lieutenant of Ireland, if the Parliament continue, will undoubtedly fall, he having managed that place with so much self-seeking and disorder and pleasure, and some great men are designing to overthrow him. As, among the rest, my Lord Orrery, and this will try the King mightily, he being a firm friend to my Lord Lieutenant. So home and to supper a little, and then to bed, having stepped, after I came home, to Alderman Backwell, about business, and there talked a while with him and his wife, a fine woman of the country, and how they had bought an estate at Buckworth, within 4 mile of Brampton. The 4th of May. Up betimes and by water to Charing Cross, and so to William Coventry, and there talked a little with him, and thence over the park to Whitehall, and there did a little business at the Treasury, and so to the Duke of York, and there present Balty to the Duke of York, and a letter from the board to him about him. And the Duke of York is mightily pleased with him, and I doubt not his continuance in employment, which I'm glad of. Thence with Sir Hugh Cholmondeley to Westminster Hall, talking, and he crying mightily out of the power the House of Lords usurp in this business of the East India Company. Thence away home, and there did business, and so to dinner, my sister Mitchell and I, and thence I to the Duke of York's house, and there saw The Impertinence again, and with less pleasure than before, it being but a very contemptible play, though there are many little witty expressions in it, and the pit did generally say that of it. Thence going out, Mistress Pierce called me from the gallery, and there I took her and Mistress Corbett by coach up and down, and took up Captain Rolt in the street, and at last, it being too late to go to the park, I carried them to the Bear in Drury Lane and there did treat them with a dish of mackerel, the first I have seen this year, and another dish, and Mighty Mary, and so carried her home and thence home myself, well pleased with this evening's pleasure, and so to bed.
The 5th of May. Up and all the morning at the office, at noon home to dinner and Creed with me, and after dinner he and I to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there, coming late, he and I up to the balcony box, where we find my Lady Castlemaine and several great ladies, and there we sat with them. And I saw The Impertinence once more, now 3 times, and the 3 only days it hath been acted. And to see the folly how the house doth this day cry up the play more than yesterday, and I, for that reason, like it, I find the better too. By suppositive at all, I understand, is meant Sir Robert Howard. My lady pretty well pleased with it, but here I sat close to her fine woman, Wilson, who indeed is very handsome, but they say with child by the king. I asked, and she told me this was the first time her lady had seen it, I having a mind to say something to her. One thing of familiarity I observed in my Lady Castlemaine. She called to one of her women, another that sat by this, for a little patch off her face, and put it into her mouth and wetted it, and so clapped it upon her own by the side of her mouth, I suppose she feeling a pimple rising there. Thence with Creed to Westminster Hall, and there met with Cousin Roger, who tells me of the great conference this day between the Lords and Commons about the business of the East India Company, as being one of the weightiest conferences that hath been, and managed as weightily. I am heartily sorry I was not there, it being upon a mighty point of the privileges of the subjects of England in regard to the authority of the House of Lords, and their being condemned by them as the Supreme Court, which, they say, ought not to be but by appeal from other courts. And he tells me that the Commons had much the better of them in reason and history, there quoted, and believes the Lords will let it fall. Thence to walk in the hall, and there hear that Mistress Martin's child, my goddaughter, is dead. And so by water to the Old Swan, and thence home, and there a little at Sir William Penn's, and so to bed. The 6th of May. Up into the office, and thence to Whitehall, but came too late to see the Duke of York, with whom my business was, and so to Westminster Hall, where met with several people and talked with them, and among other things, understand that my Lord St. John's is meant by Mr. Woodcock in The Impertinence. Here met with Mistress Washington, my old acquaintance of the Hall, whose husband hath a place in the excise at Windsor, and it seems lives well. I have not seen her these 8 or 9 years, and she begins to grow old, I can perceive, visibly. So time doth alter, and doth doubtless the like in myself. This morning the house is upon the city bill, and they say hath passed it, though I am sorry that I did not think to put somebody in mind of moving for the churches to be allotted according to the convenience of the people, and not to gratify this bishop or that college. Thence by water to New Exchange, where bought a pair of shoestrings, and so to Mr. Pierce's, where invited, and there was Nip, Mistress Foster, and here dined, but a poor sluttish dinner as usual, and so I could not be heartily merry at it. Here saw her girl's picture, but it is mighty far short of her boy's, and not like her neither, but it makes Hales's picture of her boy appear a good picture. Thence to Whitehall, walked with Brisbane, who dined there also, and thence I back to the King's Playhouse, and there saw the Virgin Martyr, and heard the music that I like so well, and intended to have seen Nip, but I let her alone, and having there done, went to Mistress Pierce's back again where she was, and there I found her asleep on a pallet in the dark, where yo did poner mi manos under her jupe, and tocar su cosa, and waked her, that is, Nip. And so, to talk, and by did eat some curds and cream, and thence away home, and it being night, I did walk in the dusk up and down, round through our garden, over Tower Hill, and so through Crutched Friars, 3 or 4 times. And once did meet Mercer and another pretty lady, but being surprised I could say little to them, though I had an opportunity of pleasing myself with them, but left them, and then I did see Arnell, Payne's daughter, and her yo did desear venga after, migo, and so ella did seque me to Tower Hill, to our back entry there that comes upon the degré entrant into nostra garden, and there, ponendo the key in the door, yo tocar su mamel con mi mano, and su cosa with mi cosa, e yo did darla a shilling. And so parted, and yo home, to put up things against tomorrow's carrier for my wife. And among others, a very fine salmon pie sent me by Mr. Steventon, Will Hewer's uncle, and so to bed. The 7th of May. Up and to the office, where all the morning, at noon, home to dinner, and thither I sent for Mercer to dine with me, and after dinner she and I called Mistress Turner, and I carried them to the Duke of York's house, and there saw The Man's the Master, which proves, upon my seeing it again, a very good play. Thence called Nip from the King's house, where, going in for her, the play being done, I did see Beck Marshall come dressed off of the stage, and looks mighty fine and pretty and noble. And also Nell in her boy's clothes, mighty pretty. But, Lord, their confidence, and how many men do hover about them as soon as they come off the stage, and how confident they are in their talk. Here I did kiss the pretty woman newly come, called Peg, that was Sir Charles Sedley's mistress, a mighty pretty woman, and seems, but is not, modest. Here took up Nip into our coach, and all of us with her to her lodging, and thither comes Bannister with a song of hers that he hath set in Sir Charles Sedley's play for her, which is, I think, but very meanly set, but this he did before us teach her, and it being but a slight, silly, short air, she learnt it presently. But I did here get him to prick me down the notes of the echo in The Tempest, which pleases me mightily. And here was also Haynes, the incomparable dancer of the King's house, and a seeming civil man, and sings pretty well. And they gone, we abroad to Marylebone, and there walked in the garden, the first time I ever there, and a pretty place it is. And here we ate and drank and stayed till 9 at night, and so home by moonshine, I, all the way, having mi mano abajo la jupe de Nip, con much placer and freedom, but endeavouring afterward to tocar her con mi cosa, ella did strive against that, but yet I do not think that she did find much fault with it, but I was a little moved at my offering it and not having it, and so set Mistress Nip at her lodging, and so the rest and I home, talking with a great deal of pleasure, and so home to bed. The 8th of May. Up and to the office, where busy all the morning. Towards noon, I to Westminster, and there understand that the Lord's house did sit till 11 o'clock last night, about the business, in difference between them and the Commons, in the matter of the East India Company. Here took a turn or two, and up to my Lord Crewe's, and there dined, where Mr. Case, the minister, a dull fellow in his talk, and all in the Presbyterian manner, a great deal of noise and a kind of religious tone, but very dull. After dinner, my lord and I together. He tells me he hears that there are great disputes like to be at court between the factions of the two women, my Lady Castlemaine and Mistress Stuart, who is now well again, and the king hath made several public visits to her, and like to come to court. The other is to go to Berkshire House, which is taken for her, and they say a privy seal is passed for £5,000 for it. He believes all will come to ruin. Thence I to Whitehall, where the Duke of York gone to the Lord's house, where there is to be a conference on the Lord's side to the Commons this afternoon, giving in their reasons, which I would have been at, but could not, for going by direction to the Prince's chamber. There Brunker, William Penn, and Mr. Wren and I met and did our business with the Duke of York. But, Lord, to see how this play of Sir Positive at all, in abuse of Sir Robert Howard, doth take, all the Duke's and everybody's talk being of that, and telling more stories of him of the like nature, that it is now the town and country talk, and they say is most exactly true. The Duke of York himself said that of his playing at trap ball is true, and told several other stories of him, This being done, Brunker, William Penn and I to Brunker's house, and there sat and talked, I asking many questions in mathematics to my lord, which he doth me the pleasure to satisfy me in. And here we drank, and so spent an hour, and so William Penn and I home, and after being with William Penn at his house an hour, I home and to bed. The 9th of May. Up and to the office where all the morning we sat. Here I first hear that the Queen hath miscarried of a perfect child, being gone about 10 weeks, which doth show that she can conceive, though it be unfortunate that she cannot bring forth. Here we are also told that last night the Duchess of Monmouth, dancing at her lodgings, hath sprained her thigh. Here we are told also that the House of Commons sat till 5 o'clock this morning, upon the business of the difference between the Lords and them, resolving to do something therein before they rise to assert their privileges. So I at noon by water to Westminster, and there find the King hath waited in the Prince's chamber these 2 hours, and the Houses are not ready for him, the Commons having sent this morning, after their long debate therein the last night, to the Lords, that they do think the only expedient left to preserve unity between the 2 Houses is that they do put a stop to any proceedings upon their late judgment against the East India Company, till their next meeting. To which the Lords returned answer, that they would return answer to them by a messenger of their own, which they not presently doing, they were all inflamed, and thought it was only a trick to keep them in suspense till the King came to adjourn them. And so rather than lose the opportunity of doing themselves right, they presently, with great fury, came to this vote, that whoever should assist in the execution of the judgment of the Lords against that company should be held betrayers of the liberties of the people of England and of the privileges of that house. This the Lords have notice of, and were mad at it, and so continued debating, without any design to yield to the Commons, till the King came in and sent for the Commons, where the Speaker made a short but silly speech about their giving him £310,000, and then the several bills, their titles were read, and the King's assent signified in the proper terms, according to the nature of the bills, of which about 3 or 4 were public bills, and 7 or 8 private ones, the additional bills for the building of the city and the bill against conventicles being none of them. The King did make a short, silly speech, which he read, giving them thanks for the money, which now, he said, he did believe would be sufficient, because there was peace between his neighbours, which was a kind of a slur, methought, to the Commons, and that he was sorry for what he heard of difference between the 2 Houses, but that he hoped their recess would put them into a way of accommodation, and so adjourned them to the 9th of August, and then recollected himself and told them the 11th. So imperfect a speaker he is. So the Commons went to their house and forthwith adjourned, and the Lords resumed their house, the King being gone, and sat an hour or two after. But what they did I cannot tell, but everybody expected they would commit Sir Andrew Rickard, Sir Samuel Bernardston, Mr. Boone and Mr. Wynne, who were all there, and called in upon their knees to the bar of the house. And Sir John Robinson I left there, endeavouring to prevent their being committed to the Tower, lest he should thereby be forced to deny their order because of this vote of the Commons, whereof he is one, which is an odd case. Thence I to the Rose Tavern in Covent Garden, and there sent for a pullet, and dined all alone, being to meet Sir William Penn, who by and by came, and he and I into the King's house, and there The Maid's Tragedy, a good play, but Nep not there, and my head and eyes out of order, the first from my drinking wine at dinner, and the other from my much work in the morning. Thence parted, and I toward the New Exchange, and there bought a pair of black silk stockings at the hosier's that hath the very pretty woman to his wife, about 10 doors on this side the change, and she is indeed very pretty, but I think a notable talking woman by what I heard to others there. Thence to Westminster Hall, where I hear the Lords are up, but what they have done I know not. And so walked toward Whitehall, and thence by water to the Tower, and so home and there to my letters, and so to Sir William Penn's, and there did talk with Mistress Lowther, who is very kind to me, more than usual, and I will make use of it. She begins to draw very well, and I think doth as well, if not better, than my wife, if it be true that she doth it herself, what she shows me. And so to bed, my head aching all night with the wine I drank to-day, and my eyes ill. So lay long, my head pretty well in the morning. The 10th of May, Lord's Day. Up and to my office, there to do business till church time, when Mr. Shepley, lately come to town, came to see me, and we had some discourse of all matters, and particularly of my Lord Sandwich's concernments. And here he did, by the by, as he would seem, tell me that my lady had it in her thoughts, if she had occasion, to borrow £100 of me, which I did not declare any opposition to, though I doubt it will be so much lost. But, however, I will not deny my lady if she ask it, whatever comes of it, though it be lost, but she'll be glad that it is no bigger sum. And yet it vexes me, though, and the more, because it brings into my head some apprehensions what trouble I may hereafter be brought to when my lord comes home, if he should ask me to come into bonds with him, as I fear he will have occasions to take up money. But I hope I shall have the wit to deny it. He being gone, I to church, and so home, and there comes Will Hewer and Balty, and by and by I sent for Mercer to come and dine with me, and pretty merry. And after dinner I fell to teach her Canite Jehove, which she did a great part presently. And so she away, and I to church, and from church home with my Lady Pen, and after being there an hour or so talking, I took her and Mistress Lowther and old Mistress Whistler, her mother-in-law, by water, with great pleasure, as far as Chelsea, and so back to Spring Garden at Vauxhall, and there walked and ate and drank, and so to water again, and set down the old woman at home at Durham Yard. And it raining all the way, it troubles us. But, however, my cloak kept us all dry, and so home. And at the Tower Wharf there we did send for a pair of old shoes for Mistress Lowther, and there I did pull the others off, and put them on, and did endeavour para tocar sa fai, but ella had drawers on, but yo did besarla, and tocar su mamel. Ella being poco shy, but doth speak con mighty kindness to me that she would desire me por su marido, if it were to be done. Here stayed a little at Sir William Penn's, who was gone to bed, it being about 11 at night, and so I home to bed. The 11th of May. Up and to my office, where alone all the morning. About noon comes to me my cousin Sarah and my aunt Lettice, newly come out of Gloucestershire, good woman, and come to see me. I took them home and made them drink, but they would not stay dinner, I being alone. But here they tell me that they hear that this day Kate Joyce was to be married to a man called Holinshed, whom she indeed did once tell me of, and desired me to inquire after him. But whatever she said of his being rich, I do fear, by her doing this without my advice, it is not as it ought to be. But as she brews, let her bake. They being gone, I to dinner with Balty and his wife, who is come to town to-day from Deptford to see us. And after dinner, I out and took a coach and called Mercer, and she and I to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there saw The Tempest. And between two acts, I went out to Mr. Harris and got him to repeat to me the words of the echo, while I writ them down, having tried in the play to have wrote them. But when I had done it, having done it without looking upon my paper, I find I could not read the black lead. But now I have got the words clear, and in going in thither had the pleasure to see the actors in their several dresses, especially the seamen and monster, which were very droll. So into the play again, but there happened one thing which vexed me, which is that the orange woman did come in the pit and challenge me for 12 oranges, which she delivered by my order at a late play at night, to give to some ladies in a box, which was wholly untrue, but yet she swore it to be true. But, however, I did deny it and did not pay her, but for quiet did buy 4 shillings worth of oranges off her at 6 pence apiece. Here I saw first my Lord Ormond since his coming from Ireland, which is now about 8 days. After the play done, I took Mercer by water to Spring Garden, and there with great pleasure walked and ate and drank and sang, making people come about us to hear us, and 2 little children of one of our neighbours that happened to be there did come into our arbour, and we made them dance prettily. So by water with great pleasure down to the bridge, and there landed and took water again on the other side. and so to the tower, and I saw her home, and myself, home to my chamber, and by to bed. The 12th of May. Up into the office where we met and sat all the morning. Here Lord Anglesey was with us, and in talk about late difference between the two houses, he doth tell us that he thinks the House of Lords may be in an error, at least it is possible they may, in this matter of Skinner, and he doubts they may, and did declare his judgment in the House of Lords against their proceedings therein, he having hindered 100 original causes being brought into their house, notwithstanding that he was put upon defending their proceedings, but that he is confident that the House of Commons are in the wrong, in the method they take to remedy any error of the Lords, for no vote of theirs can do it. But in all like cases the Commons have done it by petition to the King, sent up to the Lords, and by them agreed to and so redressed, as they did in the Petition of Right. He says that he did tell them indeed what is talked of, and which did vex the Commons, that the Lords were judices nati and conciliarii nati, but all other judges among us are under salary, and the Commons themselves served for wages, and therefore the Lords, in reason, the freer judges. At noon, to dinner at home, and after dinner, where Creed dined with me, he and I by water to the Temple, where we parted, and I both to the King's and Duke of York's playhouses, and there went through the houses to see what faces I could spy there that I knew, and meeting none, I away by coach to my house, and then to Mistress Mercer's, where I met with her daughters and a pretty lady I never knew yet, one Mistress Susan Guyot, a very pretty black lady that speaks French well, and is a Catholic, and merchant's daughter by us. And here was also Mistress Anne Jones. And after sitting and talking a little, I took them out and carried them through Hackney to Kingsland, and there walked to Sir George Whitmore's house, where I have not been many a day, and so to the old house at Islington, and ate and drank and sang and mighty merry. And so by moonshine with infinite pleasure home, and there sang again in Mercer's garden, and so parted, I having there seen a mummy in a merchant's warehouse there, all the middles of the man or woman's body black and hard. I never saw any before, and therefore pleased me much, though in ill sight. And he did give me a little bit, and a bone of an arm, I suppose. And so home, and there to bed. The 13th of May. Up and by water to Whitehall, and so to Sir Hugh Chumley's, who, not being up, I made a short visit to Sir William Coventry, and he and I through the park to Whitehall, and thence I back into the park, and there met Sir Hugh Chumley, and he and I to Sir Stephen Fox's, where we met and considered the business of the excise, how far it is charged in reference to the payment of the guards and Tangier. Thence he and I walked to Westminster Hall, and there took a turn, it being holiday, and so back again, and I to the mercer's, and my tailor's, about a stuff suit that I'm going to make, and thence at noon to Hercules Pillars, and there dined alone. And so to Whitehall, some of us, attended the Duke of York as usual, and so to attend the council about the business of Heemskerk's project, of building a ship that shall sail 2 foot for one of any other ship, which the council did agree to be put in practice, the King to give him, if it proves good, £5,000 in hand, and £15,000 more in 7 years, which, for my part, I think a piece of folly for them to meddle with, because the secret cannot be long kept. So thence after council, having drunk some of the King's wine and water with Mr. Chiffinch, my Lord Brunker and some others, I by water to the Old Swan and there to Mitchell's, and did see her and drink there, but he being there, yo no puede besarla. And so back again by water to Spring Garden, all alone, and walked a little, and so back again home, and there a little to my vial, and so to bed, Mistress Turner having sat and supped with me. This morning I hear that last night Sir Thomas Teddyman, poor man, did die by a thrush in his mouth, a good man, and stout, and able, and much lamented, though people do make a little mirth, and say, as I believe it did in good part, that the business of the Parliament did break his heart, or at least put him into this fever and disorder that caused his death. The 14th of May. Up into the office, where we sat all the morning, and at noon home to dinner with my people, but did not stay to dine out with them, but rose, and straight by water to the Temple, and so to Penny's, my tailor, where, by and by agreement, comes Mercer, and she, to my great content, brings Mistress Guyot, and I carried them to the King's house, but coming too soon, we out again to the Rose Tavern, and there I did give them a tankard of cool drink, the weather being very hot, and then into the playhouse again, and there saw the Country Captain, a very dull play that did give us no content, and besides little company there, which made it very unpleasing. Thence to the waterside at Strand Bridge, and so up by water and to Vauxhall, where we walked a great while and pleased mightily with the pleasure thereof and the company there, and then in, and ate and drank, and then out again and walked, and it beginning to be dark, we to a corner and sang, that everybody got about us to hear us, and so home where I saw them both at their doors, and full of the content of this afternoon's pleasure, I home, and to walk in the garden a little, and so home to bed. The 15th of May. Up and betimes to Whitehall, and there met with Sir Hugh Cholmondeley at Sir Stephen Fox's, and there was also the cofferer, and we did there consider about our money and the condition of the excise. And after much dispute, agreed upon a state thereof and the manner of our future course of payments. Thence to the Duke of York, and there did a little navy business, as we used to do, and so to a committee for Tangier, where God knows how my Lord Bellis's accounts passed, understood by nobody but my Lord Ashley, who I believe was mad to let them go as he pleased. But here Sir Hugh Cholmondeley had his propositions read about a greater price for his work of the mole, or to do it upon account, which, being read, he was bid to withdraw. But, Lord, to see how unlucky a man may be by chance, for taking an unfortunate minute when they were almost tired with other business, the Duke of York did find fault with it, and that made all the rest, that I believe he had better have given a great deal, and had it had nothing said to it today. Whereas I have seen other things more extravagant pass at first hearing without any difficulty. Thence I to my Lord Brunker's at Mistress Williams, and there dined, and she did show me her closet, which I was sorry to see, for fear of her expecting something from me. And here she took notice of my wife's not once coming to see her, which I am glad of, for she shall not, a prating, vain, idle woman. Thence with Lord Brunker to Lorimer's Hall by Moorgate, a hall I never heard of before, to Sir Thomas Teddiman's burial, where most people belonging to the sea were, and here we had rings, and here I do hear that some of the last words that he said was, that he had a very good king, God bless him, but that the Parliament had very ill rewarded him for all the service he had endeavoured to do them and his country, so that for certain this did go far towards his death. But, Lord, to see among the young commanders and Thomas Killigrew and others that came, how unlike a burial this was, O'Brien taking out some ballads out of his pocket, which I read, and the rest came about me to hear, and there very merry we all were, they being new ballads. By and by the corpse went, and I with my Lord Brunker and Dr. Clark and Mr. Pierce, as far as the foot of London Bridge, and there we struck off into Thames Street, the rest going to Redriff, where he is to be buried. And we light at the Temple, and there parted, and I to the King's House, and there saw the last act of the committee, thinking to have seen Nip there, but she did not act. And so to my booksellers, and there carried home some books, among others, Dr. Wilkinson's Real Character, and thence to Mistress Turner's, and there went and sat, and she showed me her house from top to bottom, which I had not seen before, very handsome. And here supped, and so home, and got Mercer, and she and I in the garden singing till 10 at night. And so home to a little supper, and then parted with great content, and I to bed. The Duchess of Monmouth's hip is, I hear, now set again after much pain. I am told also that the Countess of Shrewsbury is brought home by the Duke of Buckingham to his house, where his Duchess, saying that it was not for her and the other to live together in a house, he answered, "Why, madam, I did think so, and therefore have ordered your coach to be ready to carry you to your father's." Which was a devilish speech, but they say true, and my Lady Shrewsbury is there, it seems. The 16th of May. Up and to the office where we sat all the morning, and at noon home with my people to dinner, and thence to the office all the afternoon, till, my eyes weary, I did go forth by coach to the King's Playhouse, and there saw the best part of the sea voyage, where Nip I saw do her part of sorrow very well. I afterward to her house, but she did not come presently home, and here yo did besar her Anquila, which is so mighty bell. And I to my tailor's and to buy me a belt for my new suit against tomorrow, and so home, and there to my office, and afterward late walking in the garden, and so home to supper and to bed, after Nell's cutting of my hair close, the weather being very hot. The 17th of May, Lord's Day. Up and put on my new stuff suit, with a shoulder belt according to the new fashion, and the hands of my vest and tunic laced with silk lace of the colour of my suit, and so, very handsome, to church, where a dull sermon of a stranger. And so home, and there I find Will Howe and a younger brother of his come to dine with me, and there comes Mercer, and brings with her Mistress Guyot, which pleased me mightily, and here was also Will Hewer, and mighty merry, and after dinner to sing psalms. But, Lord, to hear what an excellent bass this younger brother of Will Howe sings, even to my astonishment, and mighty pleasant. By and by, Guyot goes away, being a Catholic, to her devotions, and Mercer to church. But we continued an hour or two singing, and so parted, and I to Sir William Penn's, and there sent for a hackney coach, and he and she and I out to take the air. We went to Stepney, and there stopped at the Trinity House, he to talk with the servants there against tomorrow, which is a great day for the choice of a new master. And thence to Mile End, and there ate and drank, and so home, and I supped with them, that is, ate some butter and radishes, which is my excuse for not eating of any other of their victuals, which I hate because of their sluttery. And so home, and made my boy read to me part of Dr. Wilkinson's new book, of the real character, and so to bed. The 18th of May. Up and to my office, where most of the morning doing business, and seeing my window frames new painted, and then I out by coach to my Lord Bellis's, at his new house by my late Lord Treasurer's, and there met him and Mr. Sherwin, Auditor Beale, and Creed about my Lord's accounts, and here my Lord showed me his new house, which indeed is mighty noble and good pictures, indeed not one bad one in it. Thence to my tailor's, and there did find Mercer come with Mistress Horsfield and Guyot according to my desire, and there I took them up, it being almost 12 o'clock or little more, and carried them to the King's Playhouse, where the doors were not then open. But presently they did open, and we in, and find many people already come in by private ways into the pit, it being the first day of Sir Charles Sedley's new play, so long expected, The Mulberry Garden, of whom, being so reputed a wit, all the world doth expect great matters. I, having sat here a while and ate nothing today, did slip out, getting a boy to keep my place, and to the Rose Tavern, and there got half a breast of mutton off the spit, and dined all alone. And so to the play again, where the King and Queen by and by came, and all the court, and the house infinitely full. But the play, when it came, though there was here and there a pretty saying, and that not very many neither, yet the whole of the play had nothing extraordinary in it at all, neither of language nor design, insomuch that the King I did not see laugh nor please the whole play from the beginning to the end, nor the company, insomuch that I have not been less pleased at a new play in my life, I think, and, which made it the worse, was that there never was worse music played, that is, worse things composed, which made me and Captain Rolt, who happened to sit near me, mad. So away thence, very little satisfied with the play, but pleased with my company. I carried them to Kensington to the Grotto, and there we sang to my great content, only vexed in going in to see a son of Sir Heneage Finch's beating of a poor little dog to death, letting it lie in so much pain that made me mad to see it, till by and by the servants of the house, chiding of their young master, one of them came with a thong and killed the dog outright presently. Thence to Westminster Palace, and there took boat, and to Vauxhall, where we walked and ate and drank and sang, and very merry. But I find Mistress Horsfield, one of the veriest citizens' wives in the world, so full of little silly talk, and now and then a little sillily bawdy,
that I believe if you had her sola, a man might hacer algo with her. So back by water to Westminster Palace, and there got a coach who carried us as far as the Minories, and there something of the traces broke, and we forced to light and walk to Mistress Horsfield's house, it being a long and bad way and dark. And having there put her in a doors, her husband being in bed, we left her, and so back to our coach, where the coachman had put it in order, but could not find his whip in the dark a great while, which made us stay long. At last, getting a neighbour to hold a candle out of their window, Mercer found it, and so away. We home at almost 12 at night, and setting them both at their homes, I home and to bed. The 19th of May. Up and called on by Mr. Pierce, who tells me that after all this ado, Ward is come to town and hath appeared to the Commissioners of Accounts, and given such answers as he thinks will do everybody right, and let the world see that their great expectations and jealousies have been vain in this matter of the prizes. The Commissioners were mighty inquisitive whether he was not instructed by letters, or otherwise, from hence from my Lord Sandwich's friends, what to say and do, and particularly from me, which he did wholly deny, as it was true, I not knowing the man that I know of. He tells me also that for certain Mr. Vaughan is made Lord Chief Justice, which I am glad of. He tells me too that since my Lord of Ormond's coming over, the King begins to be mightily reclaimed, and sups every night with great pleasure with the Queen, and yet it seems he is mighty hot upon the Duchess of Richmond, insomuch that upon Sunday was se'night, at night, after he had ordered his guards and coach to be ready to carry him to the park, he did on a sudden take a pair of oars or sculler, and all alone, or but one with him, go to Somerset House, and there, the garden door not being open, himself clamber over the walls to make a visit to her where she is, which is a horrid shame. He gone, I to the office where we sat all the morning, Sir William Penn, sick of the gout, comes not out. After dinner at home to Whitehall, it being a very rainy day, and there a committee for Tangier, where I was mightily pleased to see Sir William Coventry fall upon my Lord Bellis's business of the threepence in every piece of eight, which he would get to himself, making the King pay 4 shillings and 9 pence, while he puts them off for 4 shillings and 6 pence, so that Sir William Coventry continues still the same man for the King's good. But here Creed did vex me with saying that I ought first to have my account passed by the Commissioners of Tangier before in the Exchequer. Thence William Coventry and I in the matted gallery to talk, and there he did talk very well to me about the way to save the credit of the officers of the Navy, and their places too, by making use of this interval of Parliament to be found to be mending of matters in the Navy, and that nothing but this will do it, and gives an instance in themselves of the Treasury, whereof himself and Sir John Duncombe, all the world knows, have enemies, and my Lord Ashley, a man obnoxious to most, and Sir Thomas Clifford, one that, as a man suddenly rising and a creature of my Lord Arlington's, hath enemies enough, none of them being otherwise but the Duke of Albemarle. Yet with all this fault they hear nothing of the business of the Treasury, but all well spoken of there. He is for the removal of Sir John Minnis, thinking that thereby the world will see a greater change in the hands than now they do. And I will endeavour it, and endeavour to do some good in the office also. So home by coach, and to the office, where ended my letters, and then home, and there got Balty to read to me out of Sorbier's observations in his voyage into England, and then to bed. The 20th of May. Up and with Colonel Middleton in a new coach he hath made him, very handsome, to Whitehall, where the Duke of York, having removed his lodgings for this year to St. James's, we walked thither, and there find the Duke of York coming to Whitehall, and so back to the council chamber where the Committee of the Navy sat. And here we discourse several things, but Lord like fools, so as it was a shame to see things of this importance managed by a council that understand nothing of them. And among other things, one was about this building of a ship, with Heemskerk secret, to sail a third faster than any other ship. But he hath got Prince Rupert on his side, and by that means I believe will get his conditions made better than he would otherwise or ought indeed. Having done there, I met with Sir Richard Brown, and he took me to dinner with him to a new tavern above Charing Cross,
where some clients of his did give him a good dinner and good company. Among others, one Bovey, a solicitor and lawyer and merchant altogether, who hath travelled very much, did talk some things well, but only he is a Sir Positive, but the talk of their travels over the Alps, very fine. Thence walked to the King's Playhouse, and there saw the Mulberry Garden again, and cannot be reconciled to it, but only do find here and there an independent sentence of wit, and that is all. Here met with Creed, and took him to Hales's, and there saw the beginnings of Harris's head, which he draws for me, and which I do not yet like. So he and I down to the New Exchange, and there cheapened ribbons for my wife, and so down to the weigh-house, and drank some, and ate some curds, which did by and by make my belly ache mightily. So he and I to Whitehall, and walked over the park to the Mulberry Garden, where I never was before, and find it a very silly place, worse than Spring Garden, and but little company, and those a rascally, whoring, roguing sort of people. Only a wilderness here is that is somewhat pretty, but rude. Did not stay to drink, but walked an hour, and so away to Charing Cross, and there took coach and away home. In my way, going into Bishopsgate Street to bespeak places for myself and boy to go to Cambridge, in the coach this week, and so to Brampton to see my wife. So home, and to supper, and to bed. The 21st of May. Up and busy to send some things into the country, and then to the office, where meets me Sir Richard Ford, who, among other things, congratulates me, as one or two did yesterday, my great purchase. And he advises me rather to forbear, if it be not done as a thing that the world will envy me in. And what is it but my cousin Tom Pepys's buying of Martin Abbey in Surrey, which is a mistake I'm sorry for, and yet do fear that it may spread in the world to my prejudice. All the morning, at the office, and at noon, my clerks dined with me, and there do hear from them how all the town is full of the talk of a meteor, or some fire that did on Saturday last, to fly over the city at night, which doth put me in mind that being then walking in the dark an hour or more myself in the garden, after I had done writing, I did see a light before me come from behind me, which made me turn back my head, and I did see a sudden fire or light running in the sky, as it were toward Cheapsideward, and vanished very quick, which did make me bethink myself what holiday it was, and took it for some rocket, though it was much brighter than any rocket, and so thought no more of it. But it seems Mr. Hayter and Gibson, going home that night, did meet with many clusters of people talking of it, and many people of the towns about the city did see it, and the world doth make much discourse of it, their apprehensions being mighty full of the rest of the city to be burned, and the papists to cut our throats, which God prevent. Thence, after dinner, I by coach to the Temple, and there bought a new book of songs, set to music by one Smith of Oxford, some songs of Mr. Cowley's. And so to Westminster, and there to walk a little in the hall, and so to Mistress Martin's, and there did a faire ce que je voudrais mit her, and drank and sat most of the afternoon with her and her sister. And here she promises me her fine starling, which was the King's, and speaks finely, which I shall be glad of. And so walked to the Temple, meeting in the street with my cousin Alcock, the young man that is a good sober youth I have not seen these 4 or 5 years, newly come to town to look for employment. But I cannot serve him, though I think he deserves well. And so I took coach and home to my business, and in the evening took Mistress Turner and Mercer out to Mile End and drank, and then home and sang, and ate a dish of green peas, the first I have seen this year, given me by Mr. Gibson, extraordinary young and pretty. And so saw them at home, and so home to bed. Sir William Penn continues ill of the gout. The 22nd of May. Up and all the morning at the office busy, at noon home with my people to dinner, where good discourse and merry. After dinner comes Mr. Martin the purser, and brings me his wife's starling, which was formerly the King's bird, that doth speak and whistle finely, which I'm mighty proud of, and shall take pleasure in it. Thence to the Duke of York's house to a play, and saw Sir Martin Marall, where the house is full, and though I have seen it, I think, 10 times, yet the pleasure I have is yet as great as ever, and is undoubtedly the best comedy ever was wrote. Thence to my tailor's and a mercer's for patterns to carry my wife, of cloth and silk for a bed, which I think will please her and me, and so home, and fitted myself for my journey tomorrow, which I fear will not be pleasant because of the wet weather, it raining very hard all this day. But the less it troubles me, because the King and Duke of York and Court are at this day at Newmarket, at a great horse race, and proposed great pleasure for 2 or 3 days, but are in the same wet. So from the office home to supper, and betimes to bed. The 23rd of May. Up by 4 o'clock, and getting my things ready, and recommending the care of my house to Will Hewer, I, with the boy Tom, who I take with me, to the Bull in Bishopsgate Street, and there about 6 took coach, he and I, and a gentleman and his man, there being another coach also, with as many more, I think, in it, and so away to Bishop Stortford, and there dine, and changed horses and coach at Mistress Ainsworth's, but I took no knowledge of her. Here this gentleman and I to dinner, and in comes Captain Foster, an acquaintance of his, he that doth belong to my Lord Anglesey, who had been at the late horse-races at Newmarket, where the King now is, and says that they had fair weather there yesterday, though we here, and at London, had nothing but rain, insomuch that the ways are mighty full of water, so as hardly to be passed. Here I hear Mistress Ainsworth is going to live at London, but I believe will be mistaken in it, for it will be found better for her to be chief where she is than to have little to do at London, there being many finer than she there. After dinner, away again, and came to Cambridge after much bad way, about 9 at night, and there at the Rose I met my father's horses, with a man staying for me. But it is so late, and the water so deep, that I durst not go to-night. But after supper, to bed, and lay very ill by reason of some drunken scholars making a noise all night, and vexed for fear that the horses should not be taken up from grass time enough for the morning. Well pleased all this journey with the conversation of him that went with me, who I think is a lawyer, and lives about Lynn, but his name I did not ask. The 24th of May. Lord's Day. I up at between 2 and 3 in the morning, and calling up my boy and father's boy, we set out by 3 o'clock, it being high day, and so through the waters with very good success, though very deep almost all the way, and got to Brampton, where most of them in bed, and so I weary up to my wife's chamber, whom I find in bed, and pretended a little not well, and indeed she hath those upon her, but fell to talk, and mightily pleased both of us. And up got the rest, Betty Turner, and Willett, and Jane, all whom I was glad to see, and very merry, and got me ready in my new stuff clothes that I sent down before me, and so my wife and they got ready too, while I to my father, poor man, and walked with him up and down the house, it raining a little, and the waters all over Portholme and the meadows, so as no pleasure abroad. Here I saw my brothers and sister Jackson, she growing fat, and since being married, I think looks comelier than before. But a mighty pert woman she is, and I think proud, he keeping her mighty handsome, and they say mighty fond, and are going shortly to live at Ellington of themselves, and will keep malting and grazing of cattle. At noon comes Mr. Phillips and dines with us, and a pretty odd-humoured man he seems to be, but good withal, but of mighty great methods in his eating and drinking, and will not kiss a woman since his wife's death. After dinner, my Lady Sandwich, sending to see whether I was come, I presently took horse and find her and her family at chapel, and thither I went into them and sat out the sermon, where I heard Gervase Fulwood, now their chaplain, preach a very good and seraphic kind of sermon, too good for an ordinary congregation. After sermon, I with my lady and my Lady Hinchingbrook and Paulina and Lord Hinchingbrook to the dining-room, saluting none of them, and there sat and talked an hour or two, with great pleasure and satisfaction, to my lady, about my lord's matters. But I think not with that satisfaction to her or me that otherwise would, she knowing that she did design to borrow, and I remaining all the while in fear of being asked to lend her some money, as I was afterward when I had taken leave of her by Mr. Shepley, £100, which I will not deny, my lady, and am willing to be found, when my lord comes home, to have done something of that kind for them. And so, he riding to Brampton and supping there with me, he did desire it of me from my lady, and I promised it, though much against my will, for I fear it is as good as lost. After supper, where very merry, we to bed, myself very weary, and to sleep all night.